the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast, the No Laying Up live show. Any of those things, all of those things. My name is DJ. We are brought to you by our friends at High Noon, as we always are this glorious evening. It's God, I smelled a grill outside for the first time. It's in probably 6 months today, guys. It's a great day to be alive here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Deej, it is the nicest day of the year so far in Denver. What a day to spend 12 hours on the couch inside.
And listen, if you're going to be parked on the couch, Randy, or if you're going to be in front of the grill, I cannot recommend a High Noon tequila seltzer enough. Bring the fiesta anywhere you go with the all-new High Noon tequila seltzer fiesta pack. This variety 8-pack features two new tequila flavors, blood orange, prickly pear, alongside two tequila favorites, grapefruit and lime. I'm actually opting for neither of those today. I've got passion fruit. Again, I mentioned this last night. It was the last case of tequila that they had at the Whole Foods. These things are going quick, Solly. You got to get them when you can.
Cannot keep them in stock.
We can't. All are made with real tequila and real juice, perfect for any fiesta. Randy, I know those are the two things you're looking for anything to qualify as a fiesta. Find the High Noon Tequila Seltzer Fiesta Pack nearest you at highnoonspirits.com. High Noon, Solly.
Sun's up. I want to give a shout out to Jordan as well, who's producing tonight's live show. She stocked our fridge at the Airbnb here in Augusta, full of tequila High Noon seltzers, which are sometimes hard to find, but
that was huge.
Nice treat.
Jordan, you appear to have gotten us on the air in Cody's absence. Cody is off at a daddy-daughter dance. I believe he's playing 2-on-1 tonight with his twins. So Jordan's got us up and running, which is exciting. I'm sure she'll pop in later on. Guys, another glorious day at the Masters. We've got Scotty, we've got Bryson, we've got freaking Max Homa leading the Masters. what a time to be alive. Solly, let's go to you first. We're going to start we might have to go around the circle a couple times with the story of the day segment tonight. So let's start with you. First pick. What do you got? Story of the day.
I'm going to steal it. Our buddy Max, John Maxwell Homa, is tied for the lead at the Masters at the halfway point. He's going to be playing with Bryson tomorrow. Scotty's going to be in the group ahead. I got up early, went out there and followed him and Tiger in for the remaining five holes this morning. It was sublime. It was incredible. I talked about this yesterday, but we had a lot of reverence for this place. I've watched on television for a long time, never watched tournament golf here until yesterday was the first day. Today was the second. Be up early, watching Tiger come around 15, 16 from a great view. The crowds weren't out that early to see it, and just down that little corner of the property, it was with a cup of coffee. It was quite a memorable memorable morning. And Max just fits in so well in that scene.
Did you grab a pin sheet with that coffee?
Damn it. I thought I had a perfect morning until you just pointed that out. I had no idea where the hole locations were.
Five steps? Whose steps are those?
That's five off the right?
Randy, you know what? I didn't need one because it was the same pins as yesterday, and I scouted them all out. We were totally fine on that one.
There you go.
It is just really cool. The friend that we were, drinking beers with at the 2018 Corn Ferry Championship after he missed the cut there, is now, playing with Tiger Woods at the Masters and leading halfway through and fitting in really, really, really well. It's awesome. It's just so cool. It was an awesome vibe. And he just hit so many grown-up shots. I watched a fair amount of their back nine as well today. Watched them go around Amen Corner. And he just hit, like, the shot. Again, this is well-documented. This is all out on television. They did an awesome job documenting just how windy it was. But again, I just want to add 5% more of emphasis of that's about as windy as I've ever seen a golf course get where they haven't had to call play. It was so windy, so hard to tell where it's actually coming from through the trees. You've heard that about Augusta, but it was just wild to actually feel that out there. I don't know how you ever pull the trigger on that shot on 12. It's a total guess. It looks a yard wide when the wind was blowing that hard. He hit the perfect shot shape, just a really grown-up shot. And it just keeps asking that on repeat. We saw some guys wreck their rigs on the way in because it's just really hard to maintain that for 36 holes. And so the guys that are at the top, puts that in that much more perspective for how many times they passed the test. Bryson included, man. Honestly, even though he shot one over, I'm stealing some storylines here. Max played fucking awesome. It was so fun to watch, and I'm so excited for him going into the weekend.
I think what's so cool about the Max thing is there's all these players that we have on our short list, right? Of like, oh, that's a Masters player, right? Yep. Like, oh, Scotty. I mean, yeah, that's a Master. Morikawa, that's, yeah, of course, that's a Masters player, iron player, drives it great, hits these great, great distance control. Max is one of those dudes as well. We just haven't seen it yet. And listen, long way to go. Got a big, big, big 36 holes to go. He is going up against truly the best player in the world, like potentially the best player of his generation. So listen, long way to go, but we're also a long way into it. And he has not faltered at all. He's looked like a different player than he has in previous major championships. All kinds of awesome quotes after the round would you know, Randy, please take it away.
Well, no, I'm glad you said that because that's what I was going to add. He seems to really be trying to stay within himself this whole week. And I think the one quote was about, he wrote in his journal, I'm not going to get it exactly correct, but something to the effect of, I can only be as good as I am. I don't need to be better than I am. And I just want to see how good I am, right? Is that good enough? And that question will get answered, but I can live with that answer. I don't need to go out and force and press and try to do things that I'm ultimately not capable of doing. And I think with experience and, you know, Max's well-documented struggles in majors, like, it's just awesome to see him turning the page and to see such a good mindset this week and having obvious success through 36 holes. It's Deej, as you said, we got a long way to go, but we're in a great spot. And we got 36 fun holes this weekend.
That's a great question from Sam Zagone. Is that the same translation as the verse you spit out yesterday?
I think that's
fish in the same pond, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the gospels. It didn't end up making it into King James. This is, you know, this is a different book. But no, truthfully, Max, I just love how introspective he can be and share some of that. I as a viewer and as somebody that, you know, we're friends with him, but I think if I weren't, I would still appreciate his willingness and ability to, you know, that's not like the most comfortable thing, I guess, to share. It doesn't.
Yeah. What's in your journal, Randy?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you spitting out every night?
I just like it. It really humanizes him.
I agree.
And one other thing too, and this is really minor, but Max has always made himself widely available to the media. He's been on this podcast a million times. He just gives you all kinds of great insight, and that's what the game badly, badly, badly needs. And for the junkies on our Twitter spaces on Tuesday, I've mentioned this a couple times, but he talked about like one specific thing he's learned is like to get over putts when you're expecting a lot of break, trust it. Because when you get over it, your instinct is going to be like, I never have to play 4, 5, 6, 7 footers this far outside the hole on the PGA Tour. But he's recognized that this is different. And he gets up to a putt outside the hole on the second green this morning and hits it well outside the hole and watches it just fall. It fell in the right side on the low side. And that was like an immediate thing of like, dude, he said that out loud. And I guarantee you he would have missed that putt low in a prior year. And like that just gives you so much more context when you're watching him. And I don't know. I just really appreciated that little nugget a lot.
I think there's little things. I mean, you know, I surely am not the first person to make this take, but first timers at the Masters don't usually do well. And I think you see that with, you know, the blow pig wrecking his rig. Me and TC's guy, Austin Eckroach, lighting himself on fire. Mm-hmm. He hated to see that as our twisted mind parlay just went up in smoke.
It was close.
It was weirdly close. A lot of guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, hopefully we got a lot more Max to talk about as the week goes on. Randy, let's do story of the day number two. What's your second draft pick story of the day?
I think, you know, Solly touched on it briefly, but just the wind in general this afternoon. I don't know how I could not pick that number two. It was legitimately the strongest wind I've seen at Augusta. I mean, I you guys maybe have watched a little bit more, but I can't remember sand blowing out of bunkers like we saw in 18. We saw, what was it, Gary Woodland's ball on 16 rolled just some of the trees right in the background as guys are in the fairway. There was one, I don't know what hole it was, but like those, it was just crazy. Like, it was legitimate win. Solly, I would love to hear your perspective actually being out there. But it was a difficult test. It was a stern test. It's, you know, ironically kind of everything I've ever hoped for out of like all our US Opens. But we got to see kind of who held it together, who managed it, and on the flip side, who could not handle it. And I think that was ultimately Deej to the point of this exercise. That was the biggest story of the afternoon, in my opinion.
Well, the thing maybe I love about Augusta and the Masters the most is it just requires different shot making and different artistry just from the jump, right? The lies, the elevation changes, the shot shapes you need. You can't hit the same stock shot all over on repeat and get through unless you're playing the 2020 Masters in November like DJ was. You gotta have some artistry, right? And then you add in this element, and dude, it was, and we can get into this a little later, like watching Rory and Scotty handle the wind differently was just like, I mean, there it is. That's it right there. That's the question being asked. It is not like launch monitor golf out there, right? It is feeling your way around these shots. It's the kind of stuff we used to watch Spieth do really, really well, and he doesn't really do well anymore, unfortunately. We can talk about that later, but it's a totally, totally different question when you stand on some of these tees, when you stand on 12T, when you stand, you know, even that watching guys trying to flight shots into the back part of 15 from 65 yards was super interesting. Watching guys chip up into the back shelf on 13 after laying up was super interesting. And just, I don't know if we turn this into Rory now, but watching him fail that test on repeat was just like, yeah, dude, like that's it. Like that's it right there. If you ever wonder why you haven't won this thing, like watch the tape back today.
I think that's exactly right. Sorry, Deej. I just to jump in, we could not have asked for a better juxtaposition between Rory and Scotty playing side by side, and just who was able to control their ball and their trajectory, and who really wasn't.
Scotty, like, I wish I had, like, Randy, you said this all the time, I wish I had better words to describe it. Like, Scotty, like, still makes it look easy, and it like the best way I was trying to like describe it was like he, it's like no matter what the weather is. Like he knows exactly when he needs to hit it to 30 feet left of the hole. Right. And the difference is like, he can just keep doing that as the difficulty keeps ramping up. So like when there's no conditions, he's like, oh yeah, just hit it 30 feet left of the hole. Like, yeah, no problem. There's a lot of guys that can do that. Right. But like, as it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder, like Scotty, it's not like he stuffed it a million times today. You know, he just like was outside of 13, which he said he got gusted on. And I believe him because he hasn't missed a freaking shot all week. Is like, I mean, he just doesn't, like, he doesn't make mistakes. He still makes all those like look really easy. The one that stuck out to me, I think we'll probably talk about it later in another segment, is like the one on three. I was watching with Justine.
And oh my God, that shot. Thank you.
Probably doesn't care at all. But I'm like, oh my God, this is so freaking hard. He's got to get it out of this bunker, and it's going to spin more because it's coming out of the bunker. And it's a long shot. He's got to get it up high. It's straight into the wind. Massive false front, which Sahith like does the same exact thing. Rips it off the front, hits like stubs three chips, makes a triple. And Scotty just like takes a little longer club, hits it, takes all the spin off, throws it out there to 10 feet, sucks it back 5 feet, whereas like Sahith whipped it back, I don't know, 50 feet. And she's like, dude, that's it. Like, that's it. Like, that's the guy.
I'm so glad you said that, because it's out there. It, one slip up, go watch Sahith play the third hole, and go watch Scotty play the third hole, and then go watch Rory shot as well. He's in the right rough after an inaccurate tee shot and like didn't get the distance right on landing it and could not spin it and hold the front part of the green, goes all the way to the back. Scotty missed the birdie putt, but he turned bogey into a birdie chance immediately. And it is so unfair to miss where he did on nine. Like, he ripped it off the front of the green. He made the mistake. Like, he made some mistakes today and just chips it right up and makes the putt. Like, when he's making these 8-footers, it is night-night. I still think it's night-night. I think he's still going to win. And he this was probably his bad round today.
I never realized like how good of a chipper Scotty is. I think today's round just cemented, you know, you can read the stats on the website, but it didn't crystallize, I guess, for me until watching today. Solly, the shot on nine, perfect example. He just, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about his putting, but man, when you're able to chip the ball consistently that close, it's such a freaking weapon, especially on a day like today.
Randy, it's so good to have you on the right side of history, my man. You should have worn an eye patch today.
I'm gouging my eyes out.
That would have been good.
Scotty, right, second in strokes gained around the green so far this week. Again, on top of being the best best tee to green so far this week, but not the best ball striking so far. He's number one tee to green, not the best with just off the tee and with approach, but when you combine around the green, he's number one.
You know what's cool about being the best chipper too is like when you don't ever miss greens. As well.
It's legitimate.
Like, oh no, but if I do, like I'm also the best chipper. Yeah. So that's rad as well. All right. So with the third pick in the Friday 2024 Masters story of the day draft, I'm gonna do it. We could talk more about Scotty. Well, I have a feeling we're gonna be talking about Scotty all week. I did a little soul searching. I didn't give enough due to Tiger yesterday. And, you know, I felt a little bad about that. I thought today we were in for a letdown trap game. Like, hey, we've seen this. Yes, of course he can shape the shots. Of course his distance control is great. I thought we might see him kind of like falter a little bit, make the cut on the number, and then maybe WD this weekend, as we've seen many, many times. But we didn't. He played freaking awesome, man. And he just like looks solid, and it just can't be said enough times how solid he is, and a heartfelt congratulations. I think when we do look back at like this day in Masters history, it's going to be Tiger setting the record for 24 consecutive made cuts, breaking the record of, I think, Fred Couples and Mr. Gary Player.
And sorry, just speaking of like just the dirtiest short game, right? I think Tiger hit 8 greens today, but just constantly. I remember that little pitch he hit on 11, navigating the bunker and the ridge and getting that close. He just, for a guy that, well, I shouldn't say for a guy that doesn't have many reps, it seems like maybe he's spending all his time probably just hitting chips and putting, but to see that touch, that consistent touch around these greens today was super impressive.
You know what I would say, free idea for the you know, for the marketers out there, I would assume this would be a TaylorMade activation. We did that Spieth and JT short game video with Titleist this week that's up on the Titleist YouTube channel. Somebody's got to do one of those with Scotty and Tiger. Like, dude, just sell like 5,000 tickets. Just have a bunch of people drinking beers, circling a green, and then you just got to watch these guys get up and down from everywhere. I can't tell you what a ticket I would pay for that. Mic them up and just like put them in the most fucked up spots you could find and just watch these guys get up and down from everywhere. That's all I want to watch. That's golf, man.
I hope he rests up good tonight. I mean, it was the exact fear we all had as soon as we saw the forecast was like, oh shit, he's not going to finish his Thursday round and he's going to have to get up early on Friday. He's going to have to play a bunch of holes. It probably helped that he had to go back out relatively quickly instead of breaking between, but he did not look great this morning. The walk was not as good. He could not get himself fully stretched out. It didn't look like when he was playing the 15th hole, and he just made it work, dude. He just made it work. Like, he just reminds me of that like 55-year-old guy you play with in pickup basketball that just like camps out at the elbow and just gets the ball and, you know, is pivoting all over the place, making no look passes, just like just all these faster guys way around him, but he just sees the floor way better. He's angling himself for all the rebounds. He's just waiting for the ball to bounce his way, and it just keeps going his way. It's an artist at work. It's just awesome to watch that the pitching wedge into three from 87 yards, just making that look as easy as possible. Like, he played 25 tournaments so far this year. That was a huge highlight of the day.
Can I, Randy, I think you're going to like this one. This is late breaking across the wire from TC. I just glanced at our Slack.
What's my guy TC got to say?
He said, quote, a listener sent this over and it's brilliant. This is from an unnamed listener of the No Laying It Up podcast. Borrowing the genesis of this idea from the big guy. Instead of taking cards from the people behind the cat, what if the cat is the cut line? If you can't beat someone who's more fused than not, then you don't deserve to play the weekend. That's one of the best ideas I've ever heard.
Inspired idea.
I wholly subscribe.
So they send him home.
Anyone who is behind him on the cut line, not only are we like not dignifying them with whether they have a chance to win or not, in my mind, they're not even in the tournament. Hatton Brooks,
Koepka.
Little Corey Connors, Willie Z, No Hat Pat, Sahith, Mickelson, Neiman, best player in the world, Minwoo Lee, the chef. Get off Instagram. You're out of here.
Rory could have picked up 3 hours ago. He's gone.
Big Tone spitting the bit today with a little 78. Rom. Yeah, I think that's
that's great.
Outstanding take. Can you imagine that? Like getting into some of these majors, just like, oh, we have it's gonna be a 17-man field this weekend. This is all that's all that we got left.
I think it reminds me of the Olympic like track or swim meets, you know, where they have like the world record line in the pool with them as they're swimming or running. Like that should be the cat out on the course. Like you're either behind the cat or you're in front of the cat. You either get to keep playing or we're gonna have to ask you to go home. That's a great idea.
All right, I think we still got a couple more players on the board here. Anybody still want to draft? Solly, back to the top of the order.
I can go quickly on this one, but want to shout out Bryson's round. It was one over par 73, but I mean, I was selling stock last night, but I might like buy back a little bit of what I sold today. I mean, that was a big test today. I thought he would falter harder in that condition. I mean, he's never really played this golf course well, and you add in that many elements to it, and I would have thought today would have been a perfect day for him to go backwards, and he didn't really do it. So lipped out a couple putts in the back nine that could have easily been a one under par round. There's only two guys, Max and Colin, that have shot under par both rounds, and Bryson was very close to doing that. And so I just want to shout that out. This feels like more sustainable than maybe I gave credit to as of last night. Still a long way to go. Still a sure. long way to go. I still like Scotty's chances against him, but I was selling on him top fiving, and I may live to regret that one. We'll see.
Just real quick on Bryson, I imagine he putted the ball really well today. I was impressed with his putting. I thought he had a very shaky start to the day. His course management on number two left a lot to be desired. He bogeyed four. I thought Solly, this could get away quickly, but yeah, he righted the ship, and I thought he played really good golf coming in. The bogey on 18 was unfortunate, but like you said, he easily could have been a couple shots better with those lip outs going in. So,
and we're going to get to this, but he also did all of this whilst being an absolute content factory as well.
Right, and right. That's uprooting the sign. Can't exactly.
Say enough about. Randy, quick picks. We'll wrap up this segment. Anything else you want to draft, or you can go with an empty roster spot?
Well, I think a guy that I totally wrote off and disowned yesterday, I mean, Colin Morikawa somehow shows up. He's 3 under. I'm allegedly he's
running out of eyes to gouge out.
Yeah, he's tied for fifth. I just don't quite understand it. But having a 2-time major winner there is like, oh yeah, Colin, nice of you to be here. I don't trust it. I wish I did. I don't trust it. But if things kind of mellow out this weekend, Deej, you said at the top of the show, like he's somebody that we always ticket for this place. He's definitely right in it, and I did not see that at all.
I will echo all of that. That's I think my last pick. I'm right between two guys. I'm gonna shout out the defending champion, John Rahm, who looked like he was gonna be packing his knives and going home, and instead showed. Tussled the hair. That's a tough one to watch for. I don't know who said that. Tron?
Neil or Tron? Yeah. You can't unsee it.
Every big tussle with the hair and then goes right
before he shakes your hand. It's like, oh, I don't need the sweat and grease, dude.
There's a lot of guys that like get it going that wrong direction and truly just pack it in and, you know, never to be heard from again. Rahm, I at least thought showed some good fight today. So while it massively sucks that he's not more of a factor in tournament and that he's what 11 shots back right now and clearly not actually in the tournament because he finished behind Tiger. I thought still showed some metal and still didn't wilter into a little boy as many of his peers may have done.
This didn't fully register for me yesterday. I should have said this last night on the show, but when he had his ESPN interview after the round, he came in and was like, yeah, I mean, I was expecting, you know, there's always somebody that goes low, but I'm really surprised at how low the scores were. It was kind of like, yeah, man, I don't know if I'd say that, like, after you left the Strongest Tour for the Live Tour, if, like, you're surprised at how good the competition is doing in the first major of the year. I might have just left that one aside. That, you know, I don't know if I'm reaching for that link, but I probably wouldn't have said that.
All right, well, let's move on. Thank you guys for I think we got really good balanced teams there going into the season.
Of course.
Before we move on to our next segment, I want to shout out our next sponsor. That is Mizuho. Randy, I believe these guys are supporting the hell out of your LPGA podcast efforts, which is very exciting. You may be asking yourself, who or what is Mizuho? They are a top global corporate and investment bank, an absolute powerhouse in Japan. I see somebody who just popped into the green room who's also a powerhouse in Japan. The Americas is their fastest growing region for Mizuho globally. And as part of that, they're making a big splash in the world of women's golf. If you're an avid golf watcher, you may have seen a few of their commercials featuring our friend Michelle Wee West, their title sponsor of the Mizuho Americas Open. Randy, I know you know about this one. Awesome event out at Liberty National. Wasn't that the one our girl Rose won last year?
It was LPGA debut last year.
So that is I would encourage people to tune into that one. Amateurs playing with the pros, increased purse, $3 million purse, which is a big deal on the women's side. They cover all the player accommodations. They have a full day leadership summit for young girls. That is all on Mizuho's back. So while you may not know the name quite yet, you likely know many of the name brand companies they have helped and projects they have funded and events they support. So thank you to Mizuho. For more information, please visit MizuhoAmericas.com. Guys, this was not on the agenda. We have someone here who clearly has something to get off their chest. Please, Mr. TC, the floor is yours.
Hello, gentlemen. Good to be here with you. I'd just like to say there was one guy that shot in the 60s today, and you guys just he wasn't one of your picks, wasn't one of your stories today, and don't know what that's about. So not cool. Ludvig Åberg's 369 in the second round of the Masters beat the field average by 6.079 strokes. Take that, data boys. And with that, I'm going to get back to the grill. Got you guys up on the screen here.
See you later. Thank you, TC.
Thank you, TC.
That was going to be, you know what? That was going to be the centerpiece of our next segment. You didn't let me finish, TC. We were just about to get to it. We're going to go down the leaderboard a little bit. And of course, we're going to start with Ludvig Åberg. And, you know, TC, you took the words out of my mouth there. 69 in his, you know, it's already his second major round of his career. So I think we're just kind of used to seeing it by now.
Well, much like the tee times for the early rounds, like you separate out the biggest, you know, draw in there. We can't do all the biggest draws right in the beginning.
Right.
You got to separate
people would have left,
you know,
the show.
Right, exactly. The number keeps going up. The number going up technology, just like Bitcoin.
That's right. Well, a couple other guys. We also skipped over Cam Davis. I had no idea where TC was going to catch us with our pants down there. We skipped over Nikolai Højgaard as well. We skipped over Cam Davis. Both of his boys, I know. But, you know, we'll get to them in lingering and loitering later on.
If they're there at the end of the day tomorrow, that will be probably one of the biggest stories, right? Respectfully.
I think that's right. I will also shout out down at 1-under, Tom Fleetwood. In red numbers. You know what? You got it. You do, in fact, got to hand it to him.
Not to TC. He abandoned his boy this week. He abandoned him. You got to hand it to Tommy, though, for sure.
Maybe that's why he's playing better. He's freed up a little bit. We got Cam Young. Which, yeah, please.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I know we have a segment coming. Can't wait to see where our guest, how he talks about Tom Fleetwood in a later segment. Real quick, just on Ludvig, I'm over the pronunciation stuff already.
It's his fault.
Guys, he really looks the part. Like he looks just unflappable. That elegant long iron he hit into 13. He looks like he belongs. It was impressive stuff, TC. I see you. I'm still riding for our guy.
We've got Mathieu Pavon. Randy, did you do your French today? You got your streak going still? Also at 1-under, as well as
Trey
Cam Young.
Yeah, Trey Bien.
Boku birdies. Cam Young at 1-under. Dan Willett back to 1-under after an untimely triple on the 18th. Foxy 1-under, Ben on 1-under, and Cam Smith 1-under. That will conclude your under par players. Solly, I know you wanted to shout out a little in memoriam segment. Those we lost. Little miscut. I think we got to start with JT. That honestly was going to be my story of the day if I didn't go with Rob.
Just really unlucky finish. The wind really picked up on him as he played the last four holes.
I would implore people, you have to, almost you could shut off the podcast if you want. Yeah. You have to go watch his layup on 15. It was like truly something I would have done.
God, he got early called by like the whole gallery. It was so good.
He was closer to the lead than he was the cut line, playing his second shot into 15, laid it up into the water, made double, flipped over, hit it in the right bunker on 16, hit it on the green and three putted, bogeyed 17, snap hooks it into the trees over by the phone lines where I've been calling in voicemails behind 18, off the 18th tee. Has to punch out backwards, doubles 18 to move the cut line himself and miss it by one. He had a putt to make bogey to make the cut, but he moved the cut line and fell outside the cut. It was, I mean, he collapsed last year at the end of Friday to miss the cut by one as well, and this was 85 times worse. I cannot imagine what he's feeling right now. No, he was playing some good golf. Like, honestly, wasn't expecting a whole lot from him this week, and was, I mean, right there in the mix, I think around even par. What was he? Yeah, even par with four holes to play, and that is sitting T15 right now, and then he ejecto seat cuz and missed the cut. Unreal.
Yeah, was he playing with Vic and Hideki?
No, Vic.
Or was that a different group? Okay, all right. Disregard, Deej. What were you gonna say? Sorry.
No, I've just never quite. I haven't seen anything like that. That shot on 15. He was like kind of way up on those left trees. You know, the trees that kind of force you to lay up on 15 left of the fairway, and hit this monster snap hook. Clearly was not going for the green. Like was clearly trying to just like lay up to a number, and hit this like, you know, just flush rope hook that just ran. I mean, I don't want to say unlucky. It's like, I don't know, 80 feet downhill. Like, of course it's going to just keep rolling and rolling and rolling, but just rolls all the way down into the water. Just a truly jarring shot. And then, yeah, to make double on 16 after that is no bueno. Anyone else miss the cut, Saul? You want to give their time?
I mean, yeah, we had the blow pig miss the cut by one. Nick Dunlap had a great fight to get back on the cut line, but I'm going to need him to get that putt on the 18th green to the hole, potentially to have made the cut. He missed by one. Victor Hovland shot an 81 today. He missed a 6-inch putt on 15 as he went to go tap it in. He is in the wilderness, officially located in the wilderness. We'll probably have a lot more to say about that in coming weeks and months. Dustin Johnson, uncompetitive 78-79. Cannot have that. Absolutely cannot have that. Looks to
Dustin,
just be
Dustin Lowkey kind of feels like the first I don't know,
casualty.
Well, just the first like superstar, like former like Superman of my generation that I'm like, ah man, I think he might just be too old now. Like I think it's just over.
He's only 39. Like he shouldn't be over.
Yeah, is he too old or like, too disinterested?
But and maybe that's one and the same, I guess. But yeah, I don't mean that quite as literally as it probably sounded. I just more mean like, I think it's over.
I mean, he literally said it in Full Swing that he hasn't worked hard enough. Like he's just been kind of mailing it in. Like this is not a reach, right? This is not for the bots that are going to pick this up. Like, no, this is a real thing. It's just so disappointing. I would have built him as the one dude that left in the early wave. That's like, no, he's still going to show up at majors. Like he's still that talented and he's just not it anymore. It's kind of toast.
He kind of looks like me in my first year of engineering school right now, where like coming out of high school, I'm just like, oh, like I don't have to study for tests. Like I'm the kid. I'll just free wheel. Oh my god. Well, I got a what? What did I get in the first math class? Like, oh shit. We gotta come up with another plan. This is not gonna work. I'm gonna get this golf podcasting thing off the ground.
Reports that Rory's on the range currently at a 8:43. Darkness was almost an hour ago. That's gonna like put me in that fight in him.
It's gonna put me in a bad mood. I don't know. I don't really want to talk about the Rory thing. I think going back to Victor, I again, just for your homework, I would implore everybody to go watch his hole by hole on number 2
and 15.
And 15, just some like head scratchy stuff. A lot of that you kind of touched on it, but like a lot of the reports coming out of the grounds are like, man, Vic is searching, which was, you know. And he goes out and shoots 71 yesterday in tough conditions, which I was texting some buddies. I'm like, this is why like golf gambling is so ridiculous. Like, you know, you think you got some note and like these guys just, you know, they all summon something. It's so unpredictable. And then the 81 was a little bit more kind of what in line with some of the things I think everybody's hearing.
He looked like he had seen ghosts on multiple occasions. Yeah. Very, very strange. Did we mention Spieth? Did you mention Spieth?
No, let's sit on that one. We've got a big right-hander that's coming in that I think is going to give us a couple good innings on Spieth in a little bit here.
That's right. We're on a pitch count.
That's right. Saul, anything else on the leaderboard, or you want to keep moving?
Well, I think we can keep moving a little bit, but just ZJ will have his own section. He missed the cut by one as well, but I think we'll have a separate section of the show for that one.
Unlucky. All right, this was something I put together this morning. I wanted you guys to – you know, put together like what you think are the most important shots of the day. When you sit back and you're getting into your notebook, you're getting into your journal, and you're trying to synthesize some big ideas. Where did the big moments happen? What were the most important shots of the day? Randy, I'll give you the first pick.
You want me? Okay. I settled around our three leaders, so just to tip my hand, but let me pick out Scotty, and we've touched on it, but it is what I circled. When he missed that wedge into nine, I thought that was a big moment, whether he can get that up and down. Obviously the conditions are very fresh at that point. And I thought that the chip was good, but he left himself a little slider putt for par on number nine. And I just thought that was a very important putt to kind of keep him in it, right? He had bogeyed seven. He had bogeyed five. He had bogeyed seven. If he misses that putt and he bogeys nine, all of a sudden, you know, we're three bogeys in without any birdies. But I thought that made putt, you know, my conjecture here, but I think it played a part into then he hit a beautiful drive off 10. He stuffed his approach and birdied 10, and all of a sudden he's back at 7 under for the tournament and, you know, kind of under control. I thought that was a pivotal moment off of a very uncharacteristic, you know, he couldn't really flight that wedge into nine, couldn't control his spin, but was able to get up and down. And I for Scotty, I thought that was the most important shot today.
Can I pick up mine, please, right with the next moment with Randy, which is the shot into 11? I mean, it was that shot was so hard. I'm pretty sure I'd like to hear Max's comment on his, like, he just like laid up short right. I think there was kind of no point in taking it on. Go back and watch that shot on the hole by hole if you need to, if you missed it today. He hits this low flighty draw in there that was never going in the water. It was never going to go too far left. It was the shot that was requested and asked for and needed, and he did it right onto the back fringe. Easy two-putt par from there. That hole was playing so difficult in the afternoon. Rory steps up from closer, throws it way higher up in the air, and acts surprised when the wind takes it and puts it in the water. Like, again, just that's the whole thing. It was right there. Scotty answered the bell on that shot. Listen, on 13, it didn't quite work out the same when he kind of tried to do something very similar, but man, he just has that gear, and on a day when it could have gone, you know, it could have gone like it did for Rory, that was the shot that stuck out the most to me.
And believe it or not, the wind was still blowing when Rory got to 13. He was also befuddled about that.
Couldn't believe it. His wind got hit. His drive got hit by the wind off the tee. Yeah.
Bummer day.
And people are making fun of Randy for calling that out as a big storyline today. Like, Rory didn't know the wind was a big storyline.
Exactly, right?
All right, I'm going to go in a different direction, although I do have some Scotty ones on my list. I'm going to go with the pros shot into number four, the 7-wood. Everybody else, you know, Scotty and Bryson and Xander and a lot of these guys are kind of playing out to that short left, leave themselves an easy chip at this par three that's playing like, what, 350 yards today, basically, just directly into the teeth of the wind. And Max just like saws off a 7-wood right into the middle of the green, leaves himself like 30 feet. Truly unbelievable, unbelievable golf shot. One of the best shots I saw all day. And I think that was like you know, you try not to draw too much out of one shot, but also I guess that's kind of what this segment's all about. But I was like, that dude's like up for the fight, man. He's like, him and Joe are in their book. They see what the wind is doing. They're reacting to stuff. They're not trying to force their game plan. And that was a moment of just beauty and artistry and science all mixed together. And then he gets rewarded by just cashing the putt. And I mean, it's like total luck that putt goes in, but like, you know, it's definitely not going in if you're, you know, 150 feet off the green. So it's like just awesome stuff.
One of my favorite things going in golf right now is one of the things that makes me feel the best is when I hear Joe hit us with the great swing, dude. Great swing, dude. Like I just Joe gets him so amped up, and he's so aware of like what a really good shot is. He said it to him when he hit the shot into 12 that stayed up on the bank. Like he hit a good shot. Like he made a good swing. It just they maybe hit the wrong shot or whatever it was. But I just love when he hits the great swing, dude.
I'm gonna snake back. You know what?
Are we snaking? Okay.
Yeah, we're snaking. I'm gonna go back my way. I'm gonna say this is just important. You know, it didn't end up being a massive, massive factor on today. Like, he still putted pretty good. He still obviously got himself into the last group for tomorrow, but I can't unsee some of Bryson's short downhill putts. The one on four, the one on six were like, again, that like legitimately looked like me trying to guess the wind. Like it was so tentative. It was so scared. And it was like the best indicator, I think, of just how hard the golf course was playing. But it's also like I don't know. That's just to watch this space for later on. I think those could not have inspired a lot of confidence.
We talk about what an average hack would have done today, like in those conditions from playing from the tips. Well, Bryson's putt on four would have been exactly what any chop would have looked like putting. It was incredible. It was incredible. DJ, I guess we're snaking. Sorry, Stolle, your pick. I was going to say, I have Bryson. It's a weird one. Kind of like you, Deej, not sure like it's the most important shot he hit today, but I think it portends well for his weekend. And that was his decision and his execution in the layup on 15. I thought he was making some weird course management decisions throughout the day, early in the round especially. The way he played 13 was crazy. I know he ended up making birdie, but he gets to 15, and I think there's a world where Bryson just tries to muscle that to the green and you know, he goes for it and who knows what happens. But I thought it showed really good restraint and maturity in that moment to lay up to where he did. He had an excellent chip shot. His birdie putt lipped out. He ended up making par. But I finally saw him like make a very smart, calculated decision. And I think that portends well to Saturday and Sunday.
Solly, what do you got?
Last one I'll go. Again, this was from this morning. I made my way up to the bleachers behind 17. Again, the wind's already whipping a little bit, and Max hits a wedge down there, downwind.
I think we have a voicemail for this.
I think we do. I think there was a live on-the-ground report from this one.
Jordan, can we fire up the hot news graphic? There it is. let's get our first voicemail of the day.
You would not believe the scenes here from the front line. Max Homa playing a wedge into the 17th green. Hits it up there 3 inches from the hole. Crowd out here thinks he's got what it takes to go all the way. Get the ticker tape ready. Crack on.
That was good. You're too polished today. It was more fun when you were stumbling and messing up.
As soon as I hung that up, there were like three people that were right there. I was like, oh, was that a voicemail? Was that a voicemail? What was it? What was it?
What a shot. It was funny watching him in his post round too, being like, ooh, yeah, I want to see this one on TV. I was wondering how close this one went. I don't know how this one did go in. Anything else?
I was gonna say that was from the morning round. I again followed him again in the afternoon, and it was just a fucking awesome scene down there. 11, 12, what with Tiger and Max, a maximum amount of people you could have down there. Max pulling off some awesome shots in that stretch of the property, and just the crowd noise and the energy around Max was really interesting. Obviously, people are rooting for Tiger, but when Max got up to 12T, just the energy kind of flowed a little bit, and it just seemed like he had some control of the crowd. I'm not saying he was stealing away from Tiger, but they were just kind of simultaneously rooting him on. I think we have another voicemail to kind of to illustrate a little bit of that.
Breaking news from the front line. Max Homa has flipped the script. The patrons came to the zoo to see a tiger. Now they're chanting for the pro. What a buzz. Max, we thank you for all you do online.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I'm surprised Max didn't get any of those calls out there. Thank you for everything you do online, sir. You know?
Solly, those are legitimately great. Are you scripting those, or is that just off the top of your head?
I'm just kind of winging it. Yesterday I was not wildly effective, as you, if to use a bullpen term. We do have to acknowledge I'm stealing that bit completely from Scoops Callahan from the Ticket, the 1920s bit. Of course, if you're not aware, this is not an original bit, but those were my reports from on the front lines today.
All right, last one I've got for me, and then Solly, I think we're gonna, speaking of the bullpen, I think we're gonna tap you out for a sec. We're gonna bring in our guy KVV. But
you want me to go now? I'll swap out right now.
Sure, that's all perfect. Right. I'm just gonna shout out Rory's kind of poofy opening tee shot on number one. I mean, Scotty steps up, just kind of hammers one up the left side, just exactly where you want to be, and Rory just kind of hits that like the same one we saw him kind of hit in that Patrick Reed year, you know, just like kind of poofy out to the right into that bunker. Yeah. And I think he, you know, kind of salvaged it around, but it was just the feeling was kind of like, ah, man, this isn't happening. Today's not the day.
He's got like, let me ask you this, DJ. Rory, do you think Rory knows that Scotty's like got more shots than him, like is better than him? And how must that affect you, right?
That's a bit, yeah. I would like to read Rory's journal maybe tonight. That would be interesting. I would bring in KBV for that question. He seems like the kind of the guy that would have a decent answer to something like that. Kev, you think Rory knows that Scotty's better than him?
Deep down, yeah, I do. I think he sits up at night with a glass of wine and thinks, oh man, like life has come at me pretty fast. It's a different world than when he was the man.
Like, it's on full display today.
Yeah,
I don't mean to, like, it's a fascinating psychological question, right? Like how you go about competing against somebody when deep down you're like, this guy's got more shots. Like he's better than I.
I just can't hit the kind of like low flighted. I mean, I saw, I touched on this, but it just over and over, you see it out there. He just can't control the trajectory that his irons are coming into greens like Scotty can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a very fun conversation.
Sorry, dude. I didn't mean to be
the cooler to come in here and be William H. Macy and be like,
anyway, bases loaded. Good luck with that. Just like
uplifting topics. KBV, you can talk about whatever you want. What did you write about today?
I followed our beautiful boy Jordan Spieth, and I thought, you know what? This would be a great thing. He's going to make a run, or he's going to completely, implode. And of course, the latter happened, and I got to see the shit show on 15. I got to see him wanting to throw a club later in the round, him just weaving his way through the patrons and looking almost unrecognizable, which ended up being the lead of my story. It's a tough scene out there, DJ. And I don't know what I was really kind of conscious of. Hey, don't write anybody's obit out there. All respect to you, Big. You're really the authority on that kind of thing. I did not love what I saw out
there. I don't know how you could like anything about what you saw.
A lot of directions we can go. I would encourage everybody. I believe it's already up on nolangup.com, KVV's piece. Shout out to Jordan. Jordan's doing everything tonight. She's got stories up early. It's great. We're humming. I don't know, man. There was some of the clothes I was watching this morning at the coffee shop with our good friend Dom Catronio. And, you know, we got Jordan waiting there on 18. I think somebody was like kind of futzing around or getting a read or something. And just the way they lingered on his face for just way too long as he's kind of sitting there, he just looks dead behind the eyes. Is our boy broken, KVV? What's going on?
I think there's a little bit of brokenness in there. I'll tell you, DJ, an even more haunting scene, I guess it was early in this second round, but it's kind of midway through the day. He hit it way down there left of the Delta counter where, we're changing it to the Hertz counter, but, you know, I think before he arrived to pay tribute to Mr. TC and officially christen it the Hertz counter, it was still the Delta counter. When he's down there, the Hertz people offered him a lifetime gold membership, said that he could just walk back his car from now on. Yeah, he wasn't quite ready to take it. You know,
we don't need to see your ID. We know you. You're here impressed. Every week. You're always
they're
here
impressed that he's a safe driver. They took the pledge, agreed not to text all those years. So, but he wasn't quite ready to accept lifetime membership down there. He sat down in the fairway, Deej, while he was kind of waiting for the green to clear, put his elbows kind of on his knees. And Greller just kind of standing there awkwardly, like looking off into the distance, like the both of them have like done a tour somewhere in a foreign country. Yeah. And it was a tough thing. I mean, they must have sat there for a good 3 minutes before they really sort of got up to hit the shot. And then he made a birdie out of there, but it was kind of the weird bleakness of like, oh, you're nine over and you made a birdie just to sort of just keep your heart beating. I'd say there's a little bit of brokenness. But I will say, look, I think some of it is obviously injury related. There's something going on with his wrist. He talked a lot about it actually early in his presser this year, this week. Said basically, you know, it's the same issue that he had last year. It's not quite as bad as it was last year, where he felt like he had to take weeks off at a time. It's only flare up for a day, but then he just feels like he's wincing out there. He's constantly kind of shaking his wrist a little bit when the things are bad. Really looked like he wanted to throw a club on five after he came well short with an iron approach. It's not great.
What's the biggest culprit? Is it driver? Is it the irons? Is it the putter? Is it everything? What's
that? Dude, lately, it feels today out there in that stuff. It felt like wedge game. So like on 15, I don't know if people saw. You can, if you're a true psycho, you can go and watch it. But he has a third shot into 15 in the morning. He's only plus two at this moment. He's got a wedge in there. If you can make a birdie, you're at plus one. You're kind of actually would have been in the tournament. Merrimail's a wedge a little bit long. He's got a chip that he needs to really like hit into the hill to just get it. Lands maybe a foot too far. Ball just trickles and trickles and trickles and trickles, goes all the way down there. Kind of hangs up on the hill for about 2 seconds and then goes all the way down the water. He's got to go back across. Instead of replaying the shot, goes back around the pond, hits a chip, goes long again. It goes back to essentially the same spot. So then we got the putter out. We got one of the greatest chippers, I think, of our generation. Putting the ball up off that little ridge, and immediately as soon as he hits the putt, he's stomping after it, reaching into his pocket for the coin. He's just not awesome to look at when he's hitting wedges. He just has a tough time when especially 15, that's happened now twice in the last 8 years or so, where he cannot figure out the flight of the ball off that downslope and ends up either sucking it back into the water or hitting it long and making a mess of it,
man. Yeah, Randy should have bumped the hybrid, maybe.
Ooh, I like that.
Could have been the play on the short grass. It's always bleak when you have like when the cliches aren't true anymore, is kind of a bleak moment, right? Like there's the Phil thing about like, oh, you never count that guy out, man. Something about Augusta, something about the azaleas. And like that was kind of true, right? Until at least maybe this year, not quite as much, but like
I was gonna say, it honestly still might be true.
The Jordan thing is like Sally was saying forever, like, oh, he's the favorite every year, and it's like, he's just not, dude. He's not.
He kind of lulled us into that run where he had five straight years where he could have won the Masters, and then like even in 21, he finishes fourth. In 23 last year, he finishes fourth, or I think it was third, and then fourth. And you're just feeling like, oh yeah, of course it's always going to work out. I think I even wrote something for ESPN once. It was like, this place will always like be fairy dust for him. Like, it's always going to be great. And Rory's always going to be tormented by it. And it turns out like maybe they'll both be kind of tormented.
Half right. Yeah. That's tough. Randy, any Spieth thoughts before we move on?
No, I mean, nothing fully baked, but I do think hearing you say that, Kevin, it's interesting. Again, would make a fun psychological examination. A guy who had such success at Augusta, he must visualize that success, right? He must see himself hitting all the necessary shots because he's done it. And to not be able to do it for whatever reason is a frustration, I think, more acute than simply never being able to figure Augusta out, right? And I don't know. I don't know how you navigate that, deal with it. I don't know where he goes from here.
That's so well said, because like if you think about other sports, I'm just thinking about like tennis, right? It's always like the best comp for golf and solo pursuits and all this stuff. And a lot of tennis courts look the same, right? If you can't get your serve in the box, or if you can't, know, Randy, you know all the terms much better than I am. Like that kind of like translates. That kind of translates like
tennis knower DJ.
Yeah. Listen to my trap draw, ball knower DJ, ball boy knower DJ. I think that there's something like different about like going to each tennis court and like everything kind of feels the same. Maybe you can kind of figure it out anywhere. There's only one 12th hole at Augusta. Like that's such a more visceral just experience, right? That it's like, man, I fucking have done it here before and now I can't. And I remember what it felt like to do it here. And I know exactly what I need to do. And I know how I need to judge this win. And I just like can't right now is just so much different than any other sport, I feel like.
Remember, Deej, when I think you're telling this story about when he hit the truck in Hawaii and he was like, wow, isn't that cool? Like that shit always just was expecting him. I remember in 15 when he like hit just a ripper on 11 and it just hit the pin, like dead in the middle of the pin. Maybe it was 14 and it just like stopped right there. And he's like, oh wow, that's neat. Like that kind of shit just always happened for a while. And then like he dropped Dumbo's feather and it's just like, oh, well, I have no idea what happened. I can't fly anymore.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, go read KVV's piece. It's really, really good. There's a great scene in there about just your lead, I think, with the patrons and kind of like how different it used to be, like when he's coming through the gallery and how everybody parts like Moses, and now he's kind of like, you know, clumsily trying to make his way to the first tee and no one sees him coming. It reminds me of Shooter McGavin kind of stepping on the beach ball a little bit. But I'm sure, you know, if nothing else, I'm sure Jordan kept a good attitude about everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. Unless it was when he blew me off and was like, "Yeah, no, man, I'm good." I did try to get comment from him, and he was polite about it. He was like, "Yeah, no, thanks, man, I'm good." So, no offense. I don't take offense with it. I just, you know, I had to ask. So,
Kev, anything else burning tonight? I know you were kind of, you had a lot of ROM on the brain tonight too.
I did. I was, you know, was thinking about just him truly getting livid yesterday. There were some clips of him basically just cursing up a storm every fucking drive, you know, in the going right, like, and this him. And that. And I was fascinated to watch him. I was a kind of like, the sadist in me was like, whoa, if he misses the cut, I feel like nothing is sacred. Like, he's got to stick around and watch this shit for 2 days. That's like the ROM prison of his own making. It's just have to stomp around the grounds and watch other people in his kingdom. So I guess for his sake, I'm at least glad he made it. But I mean, honestly, the ejection by JT was really prominent. At least he and Jord can, like, you know, carpool buddy home together in their RVs, because that was, I mean, you're seven over through the last four holes and you move the cut line, and you, I know you guys talked about the shot into 15, but the shot into 18 was almost as brutal. I mean, he knows he's got to make a, you know, a par to make the cut, and he dead yanks it over there into the bathroom by the trees there and has to go backwards. That was brutal.
I don't think there's gonna be a lot of cut in the deck for thousands on the way home between those two on the jet.
KVV, I saw you in Rom's post round presser. They asked him about the conditions, and he intimated that he thought they were very close to suspending play a couple times. Did you pick up on that? Did that surprise you?
You know, it did surprise me a little bit. Saul and I were talking about, was this like the strongest wind that you've ever seen? And I was immediately thought about like St. Andrews in 15, but he pointed out like the ball was moving back then. Like the balls weren't quite moving. I did see Gary Woodland, the ball kind of moved and rolled all the way back down the hill and he got to place it. So it did feel pretty brutal, but I don't know that it was like, it really felt like they were on the verge of stopping it like Rom did. And it's, I don't know. I mean, it certainly some guys were able to hit shots in it. You know, the true ballers were able to step up and handle it. And watching Cam Smith, man, that was fun to actually see him back in the mix and seeing Colin Morikawa actually, like, you know, grow up and stop being a little boy lately. That was fun. So I don't know, man, the last hour of like implosions were so fun. That was just that's what I want out of every Friday Masters, is people just shitting their pants or rising to the occasion or like ejecting, and Jose Maria like shaking hands here and there. I mean, that was sweet.
Here. Well, Kev, we'll let you get back to it. Thank you for everything tonight. Go read KVV's piece on nolayingup.com. I'm sure we will talk to you tomorrow, my man. Thank you for popping in.
Thank you, boys.
All right. We do. I do have word. We got a man warming up in the bullpen. I know he's not he's ready to go yet. He's not quite ready to go yet.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to pay a bill here real quick. We're going to shout out our friends at Omni Hotels. Randy, Omni Hotels continues to take their golf to another level. They have 13 sought-after golf destinations, 28 courses in all, from championship designs by iconic architects like William Flynn, Gil Hance, and Bo Welling, to multiple short courses, putting courses, and interactive experiences. A huge unveiling from Gil Hance is actually right around the corner with the debut of Omni La Costa's championship course renovation.
I can't wait to see that.
You know what? Spoiler alert, me and the Code Man and Casey are going to go check it out in a couple weeks here, just in front of the NCAA Women's and Men's Golf Championships in May. Not only will it be the first time the world will be seeing this course, but for the players too. Then they'll be back in 25 and 26. Course will be open for member and resort guest play in June. Add that to your list, Randy. San Diego in June. How's that sound? This just adds to the list of tournaments and majors that Omni is hosting across their nationally ranked courses. There is no shortage of exciting golf programming, resort offerings, and distinctive accommodation options when it comes to Omni. Experience it for yourself and book your next golf trip at omnihotels.com/golf. omnihotels.com/golf. Omni golf. Play the possibilities. So you've seen how hard I'm hitting these these slogans, man.
So you proud
punch
of you, man.
The keys. Punch the keys.
I'm legitimately psyched that the NCAA championships aren't at Greyhawk anymore. I'm good on desert golf. Can't wait to see Gil's work. And hopefully the championships will stay there. I know they're signed for 3 years, but reading the tea leaves, they might just park it there indefinitely. We shall see.
Let's, you know what, we're going to switch the agenda up around because I think we're going to want this guy. We're going to try to stretch this guy out, Neil or Randy. Isn't that what everybody's saying? You got to stretch, these guys out. If we could get three innings out of this guy instead of one, like, God.
Saves the pen. I mean, the rest we got of the 12 series.
In a row after this. Like, that would be great. Let's bring him in.
We'll DFA him after today anyway.
I love this matchup that we got for the next segment. Bringing in the big right-hander, kind of a switch. He bats left, but he throws righty. Of course, that is Neil Schuster, the czar, fresh out of, you know, new fatherhood. I don't know the last time you were on the pod. Welcome to the
so
golf
much
daddy.
Perspective.
Yeah, look Gentlemen, at the music out of him.
Champ, it's great to be here. People want to know if the pro can vanquish the big golfer or if old man Scott will be cooking up something special at the Champions Dinner next year.
That's good stuff. Were you writing that while you were in the greeter?
Yeah,
you're
damn right I was.
He's a creative writing major.
It's great to be here with you, gentlemen. You know, tough day, working the grill
block party
you know, changing diapers, cleaning up just
so much poop,
just cleaning so up much everybody's poop, trash, basically. That's
did
kinda...
any citations get issued at the block party? I assume nobody got arrested at least. What do you have to say about the block party?
Randy, when times get tough, much like you, I also like to, consult the good book. And I went there for some inspiration and some perspective, and I found it in Proverbs 31, verses 6 to 7, in the King James version.
Of course. All hail LeBron.
Right? Quote, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. So you know what? We got a bunch of beer left over in the coolers. We got a bunch of pool packs. Okay? And when you're sad, why don't you just crack a cold one, big man? Okay. And I hope Rory does too. Rory, go grab yourself cold beer, brother.
I think he's still in the rage.
God.
Well, after that, I hope he has a nightcap.
Electric strikeout from Neil facing that first batter. That's why they bring him in.
What I'm gonna say, Randy, I'm mad as hell. Honestly, yeah. I'm mad as hell.
Good.
It was a disgrace. I mean, all the words, right? I'm hurt. I'm disgusted. I mean, Rory looked like fucking Humpty Dumpty. All right. I kind of wish he would have just gotten blown out to sea like Spieth, you know, or JT, like commit seppuku or whatever. Just, no, he didn't. He just fell off the wall. It was just all day, double miss, a little hang doggy early, but then like the fake Arya Jatanagarn smile on the back nine, which made it even worse of like, no, I'm not upset. Him and Harry are yucking it up. Yeah, it sucked, man. Yeah, but you know what it was? Last year and the year before, previous block parties, he's had the driver work. And
such a good comment.
Kevin Quigley interjected.
Steel is not lasting three innings.
He had the driver working and he doesn't right now. He's
pitch
so
to
lost.
Contact, Neil. Pitch
Guys,
to contact.
He's so lost off the tee right now, and that's his superpower. And without that, the rest of the car just isn't – it's not working, and that sucks. And so you know what, Randy? I tried to manifest something this week. That was a premature block party call. I put the word out too early. Yeah. We got a bunch of people we don't know at the party. And, yeah, you called the cops, and you know what? Party's over, so – Yeah.
Well, the block party became a neighborhood watch problem, and I don't appreciate that. All right. You know, I'm a NIMBY. I don't need this shit in my backyard.
I think the thing about traditions, Neil, is like some years are better than others, man, but you just got to keep the lights on.
You know? I'm sure there were some early Masters events probably stunk, right?
You think they wanted to have the one in November? No.
That's right.
Sometimes those are the circumstances, man.
It's my duty, Randy. I can't help it, all right? And I want to be like, at this point, it's like filing my taxes. I have to do it, right?
I know.
I don't want to get a penalty.
Well, you've been up every night for a month, too. Like, I can't even imagine the headspace here. And of course, you're
I was so fucking jacked up for that group. I was like, God, Rory, all we needed from him was what Xander did. Like Xander, I got to give credit to Xander. Xander grinded his nuts off. Just lingering.
Cool, Rory.
And he just didn't do it. And right off the first tee, it was like, oh, cool, dump in the bunker. Sick. Like, just bad, bad golf.
Neil, it's on you if you're surprised at this point, though. It is on you if you're surprised.
I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed. And you know what? It's fun for me. I do like to root for Rory. I want to be there when he does it. And I think he's going to do it. I really do. I think he's got 10 years. I think it's going to happen. So you know what? Maybe we'll have a smaller gathering, maybe not a party next year, but you know, I might crack a cold beer.
Well, listen, I did not expect him to get so many outs that fast, but the reason we brought him in was I love the matchup with Neil and lingering and loitering. One of his favorite games ever, a Friday tradition. Speaking of traditions, a Friday tradition here on the No Laying It Up podcast. Neil, we're just going to go quick here, all right? And we don't want you to overthink it. The rules of the game are simple. Those who are lingering are of no threat. You know, they're just peacefully hanging out. They're maybe, you know, smoking a J with some friends out of the parking lot. They're not a reason to call the police. But those who are loitering have bad intent. They may be coming in to rob the cashier. They have their eyes on the trophy. And we're going to go through and kind of see who's who.
Deej, I actually had some definitions written down. So we'll start with lingering. You know, but I guess the real definition is not doing stuff, right? It's kind of a binary thing. Are you doing stuff? Or are you not doing stuff? So the lingerers, they're annoying. They're chatty at the register. They're leaving the fridge open for 2 or 3 minutes because they can't make a decision about what energy drink they want to get.
Sure.
They're unprepared with payment. They ask if the price is correct, meaning they're cheap. And they're just oblivious to the line stacking up behind them. Just get out of the way, okay? Sure. And I have a few names on this list. I think Højgaard, first Masters, I think he's lingering. I don't think he's doing things tomorrow. I don't think he's doing things Sunday. I think he's fading down the board. Morikawa, Randy, I was proud of you last night. I know he played good today, but I don't think he's going to win. Cam Young, total fool's gold right now. Don't know what's going on with him. He's not going to win. Matthew Pavon, no thank you. Tommy Fleetwood, sorry, TC, he's not going to win. Now, I have one that's going to be this is tough. I'm worried. I'm concerned about Max. I am concerned. I am passionately rooting for Max. But, Randy, we are in a place that you and I know well, the edge of uncomfortable.
Yes, we are.
That is where learning happens, which is good. That's where we want to be. But we're in kind of a new place here. Long day today. I got to think he's tired. He looked tired talking to Van Pelt and Butler Cabin. So I'm concerned about Max. If he's happy, you know, he seems like he's in too good of spirits. Like the mental game is so dialed that, like, you know, he might not be I need him to be a little meaner. That's kind of what I'm looking for. So I kind of have him in the lingering category, but I'm rooting for him to just take a baseball bat to the window. You know what I mean? Like, I want him to do something crazy.
I got to add in here. He's got I'm also concerned. He's got a 6.52 OPS for his fantasy baseball team this week. He's leading every hitting category, and his ERA is 6.28 this week. It's not looking great for Max.
He may have been focused on some other things.
He also got a minute. He also got a minute 07 on the New York Times mini today.
And which, he's got that. He's
kudos
got
that new, for getting that in.
He's got that new Chipotle sponsorship. He's eating a bunch of burritos. You know, he's getting guardy. Like,
that's there's Neil's free ad. There he had to get one.
I thought that was a sick sponsorship. Anyway.
Anyone else that is lingering right now?
No, that was kind of my list. I was trying to keep it in the guys that are under par. Like, sure. We could go down the list, but these guys are kind of on the first page of the leaderboard. Don't think they're doing anything. So loitering.
Hold on, that was going to be my question. We're not even worrying about guys at even par or worse, right? Like,
I mean, we can, but I was trying to keep it tight, right?
No, but I mean, what's your opinion? Like, does anybody really have a shot at doing anything?
I think I have one guy on there, and I'll start with him. So loitering, and he's at even par. Loitering is doing stuff, right? So we're pacing out in front of the store.
You better not say who I think you're going to say.
We're wearing pants with way too many pockets. We're cracking tall boys before we pay for them. We're standing next to the register evaluating tobacco selection in silence. We're getting real close to the hot dog and pizza hot bar and smelling the food for an uncomfortably long period of time. We're wearing too many layers when it's hot. We're biking off and then we're biking back 10 minutes later. Guys, it just kind of circle the block, but they don't seem to go away. Okay.
The greatest loiterer ever is the guy from No Country for Old Men.
Yes. Just call, around.
Call it.
Yeah. Not saying much. Eerily quiet. So, obviously, Scott, he's, I mean, nothing really needs to be said.
Sure.
He's very quiet. He's
got a long record.
I was torn. I have Bryson in the loitering category. I was torn, though. I think he's going to stick around, but I think there's some holes in the game a little bit. Like, I see some – he could get pretty squirrely. He got a few squirrely tee shots. Randy, I agree with you. He showed some patience. I'm going to leave him in the loitering category, though, because I want him there. The guy I mentioned earlier, though, I have Xander in the loitering category for one reason only. He's not going to win the tournament. What he's going to do is he's going to hang out very quietly by the picnic tables over around back. He's going to wait. The cops are going to get called for somebody else. And then he's going to sneak in and steal the money out of the register quietly and just walk off. And he's going to get a top five. And he shouldn't be allowed to do that. It's bullshit. But I would consider that a form of loitering.
I would rather he's just not there. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable with him hanging out.
He's not going to hurt anybody, but he's going to do something nefarious. So that's why he's in this category. I also have Cam Davis. I got a bad feeling about Cam Davis. I'm worried he's going to ruin some narratives. He looked really good. And I'm just not really into him. And so I'd love to see him fade, but I don't know. And then Ludvig, the quiet ones are the ones you got to worry about. Ludvig is definitely loitering. Played awesome today. And then Fitzpatrick and Cam Smith. Maybe not Fitzpatrick as much because the course won't be as hard on the weekend. But, man, he hung around, like, true to form. And then the mangy dog is you know, he's doing his thing. So this was kind of an easy game tonight. The wind kind of did my job for me, kind of just blew all the little skateboarder groms out, you know, out to sea.
Cops already did a drive-by. All the all the little boys went home.
Blow pig, Willett, see ya. Rory, sorry. Out of here, Humpty Dumpty. Jason Day, I had a good name for him. Bird son.
That is a good name. Blow pig.
Bird, like Jay. We'll workshop that offline. I'm running out of steam here. No,
go ahead. This is your game to finish. Visit. Yeah,
God, that one got foul. Holy smoke.
Oh my God, that one's deep foul ball. 12
off the bat, foul. Neil, hang out for this next segment here because I think you're really gonna like this one as well. This is simply titled "Did You See This?" Okay, and this is just before we turn the page on the first two rounds. I just want to circle back on a couple things. And just ask you guys, did you see this? Let's just make sure we're all on the same page. And the first one, Cody mentioned Bryson's irons yesterday. You know, Cody's subscribing to Bryson's Patreon. You know, he's getting all the updates from Bryson and his team. I wanted to go back and read. This is from a story from Adam Shupak. This is about Bryson's new irons. Quote, Bryson DeChambeau, who opened with a 7-under 65 in the first round of the Masters at Augusta National Golf Club, is playing with a custom set of single length irons made by little known club maker. I want to say it's Avoda. I'm not sure. I'm going to say Avoda, that are made by 3D printing and weren't approved by the USGA until Monday. With no hesitation, DeChambeau inserted them into the bag at the Masters. Here's where it gets good. Avoda is a Hebrew word with multiple meanings, one of which is precision. According to Avoda's website, the company makes two different types of irons. One-length irons, like the clubs DeChambeau was played when he was sponsored by Cobra, and combo-length irons. So you can see on the screen here that stamped onto Bryson's wedges is what appears to be the Hebrew word for precision, as well as the Bryson logo, which I did not see coming in a million years. And did you guys see this? Got to make sure. Make sure we're all on the same page.
Bryson's got a chance tomorrow to do one of the funniest things possible if he hits Max with a shalom on the first tee.
Big pair, comfy pairing for Max. We know that.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking up Hebrew words for the Slack channel. You know, Bryson putting one on the back hopa on 14. It's incredible.
Neil called them the 3D printed Hebrew hammers today, which is just really good stuff. Again, didn't see that coming. Want to make sure you guys saw that. Number two, Vijay Singh made the cut this week wearing Hokas. These like colorful running shoes. As a Hoka guy myself, you love to see this. Vijay 72-73 to make the cut for the 20th time.
That's awesome.
Just making sure you guys that had come across your desk. Next one. TC had many tweets that we could have put up here. My personal favorite quote, Bubba with a 6.85 start to his back nine, otherwise known as a Samoa, which I believe 6.85 is the area code for American Samoa. Just wanted to make sure I didn't know that before this week. I've never seen Bubba go 6.85 before. Just really, really good stuff.
I had to admit, I was afraid to ask what that was in reference to in our internal Slack.
I did confirm on that one. Okay, number four. Saul, you mentioned this yesterday. Greg Norman out at Augusta. Just an incredible photo. I believe Dylan DeChair posted this one, is how it originally came across my desk. TC said he looked like Genghis Khan leading just a horde of conquerors out around Augusta. And I do want to say, I think this outfit is fire. I think the tight pants, the white shirt, the white safari hat. I've just give it all to me. I think it looks awesome.
I've never had any problem with Greg's outfits. You go back and watch the old Masters clips. It's fire. It's fuego at all times.
Just got to say, it is not slippery enough out here to be wearing golf shoes. I get it. Yesterday, like, you're a little worried maybe it was going to be a monsoon. There were no walking issues amongst anyone out there. He does not need to be wearing golf shoes.
Okay, next one. Very quick, but Brian Harman went 34-47. Never seen a major champion hang up a 47 on a back nine. Just thought you guys should know. Don't really have a lot to add there. Number six, I know this is a controversial one. I issued a statement this morning.
What are you doing?
Jason Day's vest, I'm
don't,
in.
Yeah, don't, no, don't do that.
No, I think it's sweet. Stop. I think this
stop,
is sweet. No.
Stop pandering.
I think legitimately, you guys are on the wrong side of history. Yes.
No.
Was it true that he was asked not to wear it, or did he just take it off?
No, I think that was a lie. I think it just
heated. Do you like the vest, the sweater vest, or do you like the design on it, or both?
Both. I think this is the one. I I'm not out on all Malbon across the board. I'm out on the pants. I think the pants look quite silly on Jason Day. And I'm out on this outfit, like, with the fucking three logos on his hat as well. It's good. Like, it's not cool. But this has like a, I think we're going to look back on this one fondly. I think this looks cool. I'm in on this.
Deej, I can't get there with you. I do like the sweater vest. I just think that the design is stupid. Like, the idea is close. It's closer than, I'm kind of like in the middle here, but like,
I think
Malbon Golf Championship is just stupid.
If TC was wearing this and he's like, "Oh, I got this heat from Callaway, Japan," we'd be like, "That's fucking sick." I think it's very much in that.
Yeah, but it probably have Japanese characters, and it would be interesting. It wouldn't be number 313. Like, this is all meaningless. Like, none of this. This is all, like, I'm guessing all of that is made up to look cool. That's
and
why
it would fit. It would fit TC. That's an important part as well.
Of course. Listen, I don't know. I'm in on it. I'm in on it. I don't know what else to add. It's clear you guys feel differently, but I'm glad to get that off my chest. Number seven, Sergio's fashion bounce back. Solly, I think one of the worst takes maybe in Masters history yesterday was you riding for the green and yellow sandwich artist fanatics look that Jason Day had. This look today with the red pants and the white shirt is like, that's what it's about. He looks like an F1 team principal rolling out for, you know, to watch, go see the boys out on pit row. This is good, good stuff.
I'm getting in touch with the 2012 version of me that loved yesterday's outfit and also would have loved this one, right? I was doing a lot of bold colors. They weren't necessarily vibing.
I think we could reach across the aisle.
That is, okay. Yes.
I was going to say, I swear I've seen you in this exact this brightness of blue though.
But the point was, I need these teams doing weird shit like this. It's got to be fun and entertaining. You cannot be serious. We're not going to be taking you seriously. You need to be doing outrageous shit like this.
Hear, hear. Jordan, we're going to skip number eight. We're going to save number eight for last. And we're going to go right to number nine, which is, of course, probably the moment of the day, honestly, which is Bryson moving the crosswalk sign on 13. Randy, I believe you first. This came across my desk first from you. What was your first impression here?
Just absolute wonder? Amazement. Yeah, wonder. I mean, when we were talking yesterday about, you know, science versus religion, I didn't have science going full religion here. Passion of the Christ.
There's a green jacket outrageous. In the background. Is it Billy?
And that's what I. Yeah,
that's my favorite part. Solly, is the green jacket? Huh?
What? Yeah, if you look, everybody's you got one green jacket that's like, that's, you know, he's just thinking in his head, no, that's not, we can't have that.
I think this all factors into like what I'm hoping for is kind of a self-aware, you know, faux humility, Bryson. Like, you know what, man? I didn't used to get it, but now I'm like, I'm all about personal responsibility. And no, please don't bother yourself. Please let me move this side. I think no. I don't need anything from you guys. And that's like that's what I'm here for. I think that down that road leads really good stuff. Shout out to Wes Stewart.
The passion of the crusher.
Passion of the crank. God, didn't have. I should have had that on the top of my mind.
Passion of the crusher.
A lot of like Bryson falls for the third time type of.
Well, I mean, he's got the Hebrew hammers. You know who else is a carpenter? Man. Exactly. Unbelievable.
Exactly right. Saul, anything else to add on this one?
No, I sprinted to go get as many screenshots as I could as soon as I saw it.
Well, number 10, I'm gonna let you take this one, Solly. This is our guy ZJ makes a triple on number 12. Can be seen like pretty clearly. Like, here's what I'll say: presented without comment, looking in the direction of the patrons who are cheering for him making a triple.
Can I Can I give the sequence here? This is the important sequence here. He putts for double bogey and misses it like a little bit on the low side, taps it in. And doesn't say anything, doesn't make any noise, but there's always that delay from 12 green back to the patrons on the other side. Bunch of patrons that are just there hanging out, you know, want to clap for golfers, applaud as ZJ taps in for triple, but this is all takes a second, right? It's not like he holds this and then just yells it, right? So the applause comes a little late. He looks up in the directions of the patrons and goes, "Oh, fuck off." It wasn't like he was like looking at the hole saying, "Fuck off," like mad at himself. It was directed at the patrons to say, "Oh, fuck off," after they clapped for him to make triple bogey. And after the round, he, of course, tried to deny it. He said it was laughable. He's like, I'm not going to deny I said anything, especially if it's on camera, and took zero responsibility for telling the patrons to fuck off. It's unmistakable. It's undeniable. I won't accept any other explanation. That's exactly what he did. Go back and watch it on the Amen Corner Cam if they haven't scrubbed it.
Which I have no problem with him doing, by the way.
I was going to say, he should have just owned it. Yeah. He should have been like, "Yeah, I was frustrated. I thought they were clapping in jest. I said what I said."
Anybody would have said that in the same position.
No one's following ZJ's hole close enough to know that that was for triple bogey, all right?
And to miss the cut, too, I think, which is tough. All right, we've arrived at the main event. This is this comes to us. I don't know if any of you have listened to this yet. This was an Instagram DM that I got from a listener named Charles Van Kirk. As you'll remember on the show last night, I was petrified to do the High Noon ads read to keep saying the term big cans over and over again. I made a joke like somebody's going to isolate this audio and they're going to just really cancel me. And that's exactly what our friend Charles Van Kirk did. So, Jordan, if you're ready, please. This is the big cans remix.
I haven't heard this.
Big cans.
Big cans.
Big cans.
Big cans.
Big cans.
It's on the third leg.
Possibly some Freudian stuff going on. Large. Large.
Large.
My name is. My name is.
My name is. My name is.
God, that's
yeah.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
Round of applause
for
our guy Charles. I think we got to send that to our friends at High Noon. I think we got to that is the ad read. We got a big cans ad read. That's what it is.
We have to throw it in maybe as intro music for a few for the weekend episodes.
We might need to.
That got me it. I think I saw the third leg. I was not ready for that part.
I don't know, Charles. I don't know if you got a SoundCloud. People should go.
What should we promote for you?
Yeah, buddy? I mean, please, you gotta get something out of that. Oh. Thank you very much.
Jesus.
All right, guys, that's about all I got on the agenda. The last thing is, you know, we did unveil some menus last night. Mm. If you missed this, we did again. Mm. This kind of stems from TC just being apoplectic about some of the mock menus that were going around, and he was just furious that everybody was just picking steak and potatoes, and like, this is bullshit. Everybody's just picking these low rent. Down market steakhouse menus. This is bullshit. And so we've been asking everybody to come up with their own menus. I shared mine last night. Cody shared his last night. And I believe tonight we've got Randy and the Czar, the Strap Boys, sharing their menus. Let's start with Randy. Jordan. Let's put Randy's up first. Randy, please walk us
through
this.
That's mine.
Thank you for having us also.
Of course. Welcome, guys. I think it's important to give everybody a part of my heritage to bring where I'm from to all of you. So in honor of that,
this is the easiest thing to see coming ever.
I know. Our appetizer is a nice little bowl of oyster crackers. For our main course, we have an authentic Cincinnati chili that can be prepared in a 3-4 or 5-way format. This consists of a plate of noodles with chili, cheese, and then your choice of beans and or onions. This is courtesy of Skyline Chili Parlor, Cincinnati, Ohio, preferably the Oakley location. And then for dessert, we have your choice of a scoop of Grater's ice cream, world famous Grater's ice cream in mint, black raspberry, or double chocolate chip. Gentlemen, thank you for being here tonight.
And it's fantastic. Please enjoy.
I will say that our designer, the Thumb God, he sent this to me. Brandy wanted to say, served in honor of Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati. So very, very classy dinner that our champion is putting out.
Is that, or the Thumb God wanted to say that?
Randy did.
I was just trying to give the Thumb God a laugh. You know, you got to give people a laugh every now and again. I didn't think that was going to be public.
All right, Neil, no jokes in yours.
I loved it, Randy. It made me laugh.
I'm sure. What do we got?
All right, so kind of caught me off guard in between diaper changes, but I wanted to get something in here. Listen, man, I am so into bagels living in Brooklyn. So I'm going in there. I want to make everything bagel bites. I don't even know if they make those, but I want the chef to prepare them. And I want to throw some lox, some cream cheese, and some vegetable cream cheese and some lox on top of that. Nice little finger food that you can pass around. Who doesn't like bagel bites? Honestly, if you don't like bagel bites, you can get the fuck out of here.
Sure.
And then I'd love to get some basic marinated shrimp with a Cajun marinade. I don't know. Let the chef do his thing with that. First course, we're going wedge salad, keeping it simple. Bacon, blue cheese crumble, fresh tomatoes, served with oven fresh garlic bread. And then guess what we're doing for a main course? Family style, baby. Let's go. We're going Italian, huh?
You hear your family.
And I'm inviting Mikey Tirico. Let's go. We're going sausage and pepper pasta. My father-in-law makes the best sausage and pepper pasta. I love it. It would probably be my death row meal if it wasn't Peggy Schuster's meatloaf. But I'm going penne noodles, red pepper flakes. We got to spice it up, and grated Parmesan cheese. And then let's get some sliced garden tomatoes and burrata cheese in there. And then for dessert, my mom always made me this cake for my birthday. It's called Stacy's Chocolate Chip Cake. It's a nice, like, moist, like, yellow bundt cake. And then you just pair it with some vanilla bean ice cream.
Sure.
It would be served in honor of Mr. Icarito.
Mm. Neil, are there going to be cold beers at this dinner?
Yes. Cold domestics.
Okay. We're not going to linger on it too long, but
that's right.
I don't know who told you that Miller was a Chicago company, but
oh no, that was that's the Thumb God. I didn't okay. Put that in.
That's
there.
Disgusting. There's a lot of people in my neck of the woods that have a lot to say about that. Guys, great stuff. I would love to partake in either of these meals. Really, really, really good stuff.
Similar to last night, we KV and I both left very hungry. We got in touch with a tradition, a 1997 tradition. We hit the Arby's on Washington Road, just like Tiger Woods did after every round of the 1997 Masters. Service was not fast, but that's what we did last night.
You listened to what was it? Was it The Train?
That's for a later date.
What was your song?
Going down Magnolia Lane to come on Ride the Train.
Hell yeah. Well, guys, that's all I got for this Friday show.
Awesome
thank you,
show.
Thank
awesome.
You all very much for coming in. I don't even know if they know I'm going to pull them up, but I'm bringing in Cody.
There he is.
Cody's back from the dance. Jordan's in here.
What's
great
up?
Job, Jordan, running the ones and twos. Cody, what was the highlight, man? What was the highlight of the dance?
I am so hyped up on Jelly Bellies and Pink Cupcakes right now. I don't know what to do with myself, but obviously they're surprisingly Big Cans was not played, but there was a couple other remixes that were so far like over the line for 10-year-olds and under. I was like, oh, okay. It was interesting. A lot of Taylor. I knew that was going to happen.
Of course.
I mean, they played Stanky Leg. I didn't see that one coming. A lot of what was it? Got a waddle with sure. Wobble with it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah, yeah.
Or it's Chicken Dance. You got to get the people YMCA twice, you know, playing the hits. But
It was
the girls have fun.
Yeah, so much. I actually took surprise. I ended up taking all three. That was a surprise to me well when we were starting to get dressed. So mama kind of snuck that one in.
Yeah. Mama had a great night.
Yeah, she's chilling on the couch still. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna pop in. I gotta do export and stuff. And she's like, yeah, cool. I'm like halfway through my show, so fuck off anyway. amazing menus though. I would partake. You know, I'm usually one that just shows up late anyway. I'm like, the main course isn't here yet, but that's cool. And in Thumb God's defense, I did look up for some reason Miller Lite is listed as being brewed in Chicago, Illinois.
Wow, Deej. Wow. Get with your boys. Get with your squad.
We'll take that offline.
This your king?
I would be drinking High Noon either way, Neil, no matter what you were serving. Thank you to them for their support of the live show. Thank you to Mizuho. Thank you to Omni. Thank you to Jordan and Cody. Thank you to all
Jordan,
of
you killed it.
Neil, hit him with it.
Thank you.
Tell him to smash. Tell him to smash some buttons. Yeah. 7,000 people watching. Welcome. Yeah.
Thanks for coming to the channel. Can we play him out with big cans, please?
Seriously, hit the thumb. That helps people find the video. Hit the subscribe button.
Big cans.
Big cans.
Big cans.
You got out of control. Awesome. See everybody tomorrow night.